Growing and learning in today's environment is not only a good idea, but it's imperative for anyone that wants to get ahead. There's a lot of ideas that have come out, and to find out what's going on, we're going to go to one of the authorities in the field. Dr. Alan Black joins us. He has an educational psychology degree with a focus on creativity, and he joins us now from Athens, Georgia. Alan, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for calling.
Looking forward to finding out a little bit about the kinds of things that you have discovered in your work and your research about learning styles and how we can best learn. Tell me a little bit about some of the research that you're finding about learning and how we best learn.
There are a variety of ways to look at it. One basic that I use is based on what was called brain dominance theories back in the 60s and the 70s. You'll still see it written about. You'll still see companies that promote it. But the basic premise is came from actual research with human brains, what we call the split brain, in which they found out that the left side of the brain controls certain ways of learning and thinking, and the right brain side does opposite or different ways. It's far more complex than that, but the basic metaphor is that the left brain tends to be the rational one, the right brain tends to be the exploratory or open one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken those principles that I studied in my doctorate and applied them to what eventually comes learning or actually any human activity. My premise is that if I can discover how you tend to think, meaning the kind of information you like to receive, the way you like to receive it, I can then discover how you probably will learn. Therefore, that will impact how I teach.
And okay, well, let's pursue that then. And something that would be in a real-world situation, we're going to learn things, and particularly the people that are listening to this are interested in business applications. How would we go about finding the dominant side that we have and what learning style is best for us?
Well, there are a variety of questionnaires you can use. There are one on my website, which is the quickest one. It's 9 simple questions. You just click onto my website, respond to the 9 questions, and it immediately gives you a small report. Then from there, there's more data or information and application material on the website right there for you to use. For instance, most of us come out with 2 preferences, one edging over the other. Some people, a very small percentage of people, will be predominant only in one. And the 4 that I basically talk about, which have been discussed actually for thousands of years by many people, is what I call meditative, which is the highly logical. These are independent thinkers who take in information in facts, in observation. They'll use abstract periodically. The intuitive, or the open-ended exploratory type, are the ones who are constantly what we call creating. They're always looking for something new, something spontaneous. The meditative, these are the people who are group-focused people, family-focused. These are the type of people who like to learn with other people. In fact, what I found when I taught at the university and also in the many years I've taught and done workshops is that these are the people that will never ask me a question. They'll always turn to the person next to them, and hopefully they've learned more than they do. Now, the 4th one, which is what school is mainly aimed at, what I call the directives, these are the systematic people looking for the formulas, the equations, the exact answers. The challenge is, in reality, that's the one that actually becomes more frustrating because no set problem has a single answer all the time.
Now, yeah, because there's a myriad of things that we can do with that, and one solution doesn't always work for every situation.
Well, here's the principle. I learned this from reading a book called Teacher many years ago. It was an English woman who was teaching in a private school in New Zealand. And she discovered, working with the Maoris and the English and other descendants, other cultural descendants and children, that by teaching to them individually, she had greater effect than trying to teach only one way. Well, this has been discovered and known by good quality teachers for many years. Well, I translated it for a manager or a leader. It is more effective and more powerful for a leader to modify the way they lead or manager their way of managing to the individual employees on a specific case basis than it is to expect all their employees to be exactly like them. In the example I use from language, in Europe, there are 18 basic different languages, 4 primary languages, French, Italian, Spanish, and German. And what the Europeans have done since World War II is try to learn each other's languages. Like, if I'm French, I do not speak French in Spain. I try to speak Spanish as best I can. In Germany, if I'm Italian, I try to speak German. No matter how slowly or how loudly I speak Italian, the Germans are never going to understand me. So the principle is you speak to the learner. And that's the same principle I'm using. In the United States, we tried to do it by having one language. That doesn't work. We don't have one language. We have multiple languages in this country. And one way I proved it, while I was still a member of Toastmasters, was I gave the exact same 5-minute talk in 9 different counties. And in 8 counties of Georgia, they misunderstood me. And I was using the English language. But I wasn't using their version of the English language from their particular county.
So what I hear you saying is it's very important for us to understand the learner, understand where they're coming from, and adapt our styles accordingly. Seems like that would have a lot of ramifications, not only in learning, but also in communicating with people.
And there are many ways to do it, but as I say, the initial one I use is based on thinking. It's real fast and quick. It comes from the right brain, left brain theories and many others. And you basically find out whether people like facts, they like to use their imagination, they like to use feeling, or they like to use formulas. And that makes it easy for the leader, the trainer, the speaker, the teacher, to then gear their presentation to that. Now, add to that one other dimension. Some people are very physical learners. Some people are auditory learners. Some people are emotional learners. And some people are visual learners. So you have to take that into effect. So now you have multiples, and that's not hard to figure out. In NLP, neuro-linguistic programming taught us over the many years, 50 or 60 years that's been in existence, that you can get a sense of someone's approach to learning on those 4 variables just by the words they use. A visual learner will use visual slanted words. An auditorial learner will use auditorial focused words, and so forth. So I combine those. I can walk into an audience now and get a sense of how they tend to think, which then leads me to how they probably learn and therefore how I ought to be teaching. And by listening to them for a few minutes as I walk around, shaking hands, saying hello and welcoming them, just chatting a little bit. And then in the first few minutes of my presentation or program, I can listen to their answers and go, aha, this group is more visual. Then my PowerPoint presentation will probably work. Or, as I've learned with a few clients in some countries, that time to turn off the PowerPoint. These people don't want to look at pretty pictures.
Yeah, that would make sense. So, well, let me ask you this. It would seem like in a group that you're going to speak to, you're going to have a mixture. You will have some visual learners, some auditory, some kinesthetic learners. Given that you do have that mixture, how do you address that group then?
Okay, in my planning and design, I plan on being able to tell it, show it, have some involvement, also involve some emotional aspects through either stories or them sharing their stories. So I've got 4 different ways I can deliver the same material. I'm also I'm also very sure I make that my facts are accurate, that I have reference material for those who like that kind of background. I also include examples of intuition or creativity and the involvement of group activities. And I have this all set up in my notes, and then I'm constantly watching.